which is U.S. versus Johnson.
May it please the Court, Paul Gaziano, representing Kenneth Johnson. Your Honors, Kenneth Johnson seeks relief from this Court from the sentence imposed by the District Court following that Court's consideration of Mr. Johnson's 3582C motion. A little background, Mr. Johnson was originally sentenced in 2003 pursuant to a then-numbered 11E1C plea agreement. That's been renumbered as an 11C1C, and I'll use that number for this discussion. Pursuant to that plea negotiation, Mr. Johnson was entitled to a sentence and had agreed to a sentence of 75% of the low end of the applicable guideline range or 75% of the mandatory minimum, 120 months, whichever was greater. Following the entry of that plea, Mr. Johnson was sentenced, and he was sentenced to a period of 105 months, which was 75% of the low end of the then applicable guidelines.
Mr. Gaziano, I think when all is said and done, though, the real difficult part of your argument is, you know, you acknowledge that there's nothing that requires the district court judge in one of these resentencings to take the same discount below that the plea agreement originally called for. It says you may. The district court may. The district court doesn't even have to give any sentence discount based on the new guidelines. It's all permissive language. And the district court judge here gives reasons for thinking that the three-month adjustment downward is all he's willing to do. Aren't you stuck with an abuse of discretion standard of review? And he seems to understand exactly what he's doing.
Your Honor, I do agree that the standard is an abuse of discretion. However, this individual, Mr. Johnson, had an agreed-to-specified sentence. Now, the Guideline Commission in 1B110, as amended, recognized that there were certain circumstances in which an individual could be sentenced lower than the two-level guideline.
No, I understand that, but initially he gets the agreed sentence. It's kind of a hybrid sentence, right? It's not, you know, we agree in this plea agreement that your sentence is going to be 120 months. It's your sentence is going to be a 75% discount of the higher of the low end of the range or the low end of, you know, of the mandatory minimum. So it incorporates, and there's language in the plea agreement giving the district court the discretion and authority to come up with those numbers to begin with, and then it calls for the 75% discount and invokes the 11, whatever it was at the time, E1C. So now we're in resentencing, though. We're in a 3582C2 motion, and nothing in the plea agreement says in case there's a 3582C2 motion, it also has to be 75%. Indeed, there's an appeal waiver that nobody's arguing about, so I guess it doesn't complicate this case, but lurking in the background.
I understand the court's concern about the lurking in the background. However, the main concern is the exercise of discretion by the district court in resentencing. And I submit to the court that in evaluating this situation, the district court had to start with the agreement of the parties, which was 75% of the low end of the applicable guideline range.
Why wasn't the right thing for the district court to do, though, to start with the actual sentence imposed and then ask whether the motion, you know, had any merit and should have been granted in whole or in part?
I think
that's what he did, I think.
I think that in part is answered by the change that in the amendment in 1B110 from its prior language to the new language. In prior language, Your Honor, the court was directed to determine what sentence he would have imposed had the change, the amendment in the guidelines been in effect. That's changed now. What the court has to consider is recalculate the new guidelines, go through the 3553 factors, determine public policy or public danger, public safety, and if he desires, the conduct of the the defendant while post-sentencing. I think in this case, Your Honor, that if we look at the policy statement of the new 1B110, that this particular district court in this particular case abused his discretion. I say that because he had a binding plea agreement. All parties agreed that this plea agreement was binding. Sometimes, Your Honor, the defendant will say 75% of the low end of the applicable guideline, as in this case would originally happen, thinking that the guidelines are going to work out a little bit differently.
I understand that.
And then they go up. Well, Your Honor, sometimes the government should see it go down, and this is one of those cases where that occurred. Now the government, by the way, which agreed that he should receive, Mr. Johnson should receive the 15-month reduction because of the bargain he had struck with the government. He had delivered. He had testified against the bank robber. He had pled guilty, and he had commenced serving his sentence. He had done everything that was called for him by the bargain. Now, 5 years later, there's a change in the guidelines to his benefit. By his bargain, he was entitled to a 15-month reduction. He did not get that. The trial court, in essence, revoked the 11C1C agreement and did that without, it is submitted to this court, granting Mr. Johnson the opportunity to address that issue before the decision was made. And
well,
that is the abuse.
He did it. Was addressed after that. It didn't make any difference whether the district judge thought he might do that.
Well, Your Honor, he did submit an order. He received the government's recommendation. The district court received the government's recommendation, received Mr. Johnson's pro se motion, and received a report from the probation department. He then entered an order which said, I'm going to grant the 3-month reduction instead of the 15-month reduction. He made up his mind. He then allowed Mr. Johnson the opportunity to object. But, Your Honor, that's very much like filing a motion to reconsider. It's a very difficult thing to overcome once the decision has been made. And that was the abuse in this situation, especially in light of the fact of the existence of the 11C1C plea.
Obviously, as you said, the district judge was bound to give that because of the plea.
I believe that was the starting point, Your Honor. Now, Your Honor, I think in this kind of situation where there was a specified sentence to be imposed, that perhaps, if there had been some intervening conduct by Mr. Johnson while in the penitentiary, such as violent behavior, tickets for abuse of staff, or
that's one question I had for you. He claims exemplary conduct where he took the number of courses. The district judge then referred to misconduct with regard to it, as I recall.
I don't recall that.
Maybe I'm not recalling it correctly.
I don't recall that there was misconduct cited by the court in its order. I know that in this government's recommendation, they do not cite any. There might have been 3 minor tickets for being in an unauthorized place in the Bureau of Prisons report, but those were very minor, especially in light of the actions that Mr. Johnson has taken. Your Honor, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you. Pedersen.
Good morning. May it please the court. The district court did not abuse its discretion when it considered the defendant's motion under 3582C and decided to grant a 3-month reduction. The district court correctly concluded that the defendant was eligible for a 15-month reduction in his sentence based on the amendment to the guidelines, However, after considering the factors under 3553A and other factors, the court concluded that the defendant, based on his prior criminal history, including his two prior felony convictions, also his history of serious driving offenses, that a sentence of only 3 months was appropriate.
If I'm mistaken about misconduct in his prison time?
Your Honor, I don't think the district court cited that in its opinion. The defendant or the court referred to conduct of that the defendant committed prior to being incarcerated.
Thank you.
But the district court's decision was based on its complete discretion whether or not to grant a reduction.
Well, the interesting question this case raises is the intersection between 3582C2 and Rule of Criminal Procedure 11, what's now 11C1C, when you've got that greater and somewhat unusual greater constraint on the district court's sentencing discretion. Does it somehow carry forward into a 3582C procedure or not? And I take it the government's position is that 3582C operates independently of however the original sentence was arrived at, whether after a trial, whether pursuant to a plea agreement under any part of Rule 11. Is that correct?
That's correct. And also, Your Honor, the defendant did not raise this issue in the district court. He did not raise it in his initial brief. He raised it in his reply brief, but it's our position that by not raising it until his reply brief, that it's waived. But even if it wasn't waived,
wouldn't
we
be
agree.
Waived. It would be forfeited at most, but unless he stood up and said, I don't want to raise this issue, but
okay.
I don't believe
well, he's forfeited
that.
It, Your Honor. And the defendant has not asked at any point to withdraw his guilty plea.
Refresh my recollection. Did the government urge any position upon the judge on the resentencing?
Your Honor, I think counsel overstated what the government's position was. Our position was that the defendant was entitled to up to a 15-month reduction, but the government took no position as to whether or not he was entitled to that, or that we did not agree that he should receive that.
You didn't urge a position upon him. You just suggested that that's what he could do if he wanted to.
Right. We submitted what our position was as to what the reduction in the guideline, the comparable reduction in the guideline range would be.
Wouldn't that have met the requirements of the plea agreement? 15 months?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Would the 15 months have lived up to the plea agreement in its entirety? If you used the new numbers.
Well, the plea agreement contemplated a reduction of 75% of the mandatory minimum.
That's what I'm saying. Would that have accomplished that, the 15 months?
Yes, Your Honor.
And the frustrating thing for somebody like Mr. Johnson is if the Sentencing Commission had already amended the guidelines, as it eventually did, he would have gotten that sentence. He's just stuck with a higher sentence.
Your Honor, not based on the district court's decision, the court indicated that it did not contemplate a reduction any further than the sentence of 105 months at the time he originally sentenced Mr. Johnson.
But then the court would have had to reject the plea agreement because once it correctly calculated the guidelines, this was an agreement that committed the court to a 75% sentence. Now, it, of course, could have rejected the entire plea agreement had it wanted to. But
right, which the defendant would be in. I guess that question is not before the court because the defendant did not ask to withdraw his guilty plea. If he wanted to do that, then the district court could decide whether to allow him to do that based on its, I guess, at this point, rejection of the plea agreement. But the defendant has not asked the court to do that. But the court, the district court, is entitled to sentence the defendant based under the factors on 3553A and considering the plea agreement to an appropriate sentence. And in this case, the court indicated that it would not sentence the would not have sentenced the defendant to a lower sentence than what it had originally imposed. But it did agree to grant a three-month reduction. But it didn't contemplate any sentence lower than that. So we believe that the district court did not abuse its discretion. It considered the appropriate factors, and we ask you to affirm the district court's sentence.
Thank you, counsel. Which time? We have 1 minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. The government's position at the resentencing was as follows. Quote, The government respectfully agrees that the defendant is eligible for a reduction in his sentence and that a reduction to 75% of the newly calculated guideline range or 90 months of imprisonment is appropriate. That was the government's position.
I think you're both right. You said eligible, and it doesn't say we're recommending it.
It's appropriate.
It is appropriate.
Right.
With regard to the ability to withdraw the plea, Your Honor, I would call the court's attention that 3582 indicates that the only thing that you can do is the resentencing. You cannot go back and open up the judgment or the plea. Mr. Johnson is left with no remedy. Here he pled guilty pursuant to a plea bargain with the government accepted by the court, which has been revoked. He's entitled, we believe, to the 15-month reduction. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.